everyone, it's Jenny Heckman here, and this is Jenny Telltales, and I've got Andrea right here next to
me,
and we are going to be interviewing Robert Harald today, and his series is the Eidola series, or the Eidola Project, and we are spotlighting his book, Moonlight Becomes You, and you can read more about Robert on my website, jennyheckman.com, on Jenny's Telltales. He's on today. So I wanted to start. Welcome.
Well, thank you so much. Delighted to be here.
I'm so glad that you joined us. Okay, we're going to just jump right in. So I guess my first question that I really wanted to know was, how do you choose your names? You write supernatural horror and mystery. So how do you come up with your names and the physical characteristics of your characters?
Well, the book is set in the 19th century, and one of the main characters is William James, who was a real historical figure. He was the father of American psychology and was a Harvard professor. And he was really into investigations of the supernatural. And in fact, the catalyst for my book was I read this marvelous little book called, it was Ghost Hunters by Blum, B-L-U-M. And anyway, she's talking about the various explorations into the supernatural and the attempt to have scientific proof of life after death. He was really into it. And then he ran afoul of this new director who was an extreme skeptic. And so what I imagined was that he would then start a splinter organization that would launch into these paranormal investigations himself. So I tried to choose names that were indicative of the time period. So one of the person's names is Annabelle, and another is Sarah and Edgar Gilpin and Nigel Pickford. So these are names that could have fit at that time period, and you could
definitely into that time period. Yeah, I didn't know that. That's really, really interesting. So he's a real character that's set, he's got some fictional stories, but he's a real character himself.
Yes, indeed. And he had some interesting exploits, some of which I fictionalize and put into the book. And then I launch into some really wild things that occur. As they get ensnared in a deadly investigation of a haunted house.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, this is exciting. This is really intriguing. Okay, so what is your favorite part of writing life?
My favorite part is actually being creative and coming up with these alternative worlds and sharing those with people. And so it's just a delight. And incidentally, the Moonlight Becomes You, which we're spotlighting today, has the team going down to Virginia to investigate a werewolf that is terrorizing a Black community there. And so I do a lot of, I was a history teacher for many years.
Oh,
and
wow.
I love history, so I weave that into my story to kind of give a sense of verisimilitude to the setting, and then I put in all the supernatural stuff. So Petersburg, Virginia had the Central Institute for the Colored Insane, and so I have a scene that is set there, and I actually contacted a professor who is digitizing all the records from that time period. And he helped to give me some details that I was having trouble locating on the internet. So anyway, it's a lot of fun investigating history and then weaving in the supernatural elements as well.
Yeah, research is interesting. You can be good at it or you can be challenged at it. I tend to be a little challenged at some of the details and stuff, but I have done that too. And when you do talk with somebody that is just, they just know their stuff.
Right.
It's so fascinating to talk to them, learn more about it. Yeah. So do you prefer when you're writing, do you like it? See, it's a little bit darker in your room and stuff. Do you like it dark? And because you do kind of, you're writing this darker topic. So do you like that? Do you get set your scene and do you get your room ready and all of that?
Well, actually, I'm also possessed of a pretty goofy sense of humor. So actually I collect a lot of strange little cultural oddities and just things that I find kind of there's a lot of goofy things in my office as well. I have lit this particular way. My office is in the basement with a window above me, and the overhead light just doesn't work when I'm on Zoom meetings.
It spotlights you in a way that you probably don't want.
Well, no, you see the light bulb. I'm having an idea. But it's hard for people to stare.
Oh, that's fun. So do you watch the show Supernatural? Because it does kind of have that little feel to it a little bit that you're on these little trips.
I have watched that. And of course, that's set in the modern day.
Yeah.
But I particularly enjoyed the first season. I found that a very fun series as well.
Yeah. So you're the people that you're writing about, is it hauntings? You said vampires?
Werewolves.
Are they kind of like, is there like a foot into reality with it, or how does that work?
Well, they initially start off as ghost hunters and then they get ensnared in various different explorations of the supernatural. So they get pulled into all kinds of classic horror motifs. And so there'll be lots of strange little encounters that they have with the otherworldly. And so my third book, which I just finished the first draft, has them coming out to the Northwest in the 19th century and dealing with a shapeshifter in the Indian community and the Quileutes and the others out on the American coast,
okay,
Washington territory. So that was a lot of fun to research as well.
Oh gosh, I bet I used to love reading about Native Americans and they have a whole different culture and their spirituality and their whole, there's a mystique about them that is just so intriguing. And so that I can see that must have been a really good one to research and write about. And
indeed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What is your favorite part about writing? What's your favorite thing to do when how do you set it up and do you have a certain system for when you start and how you approach your books?
Well, oddly enough, and actually I think it's a great technique, so I recommend it to beginning writers, is I come up with the ending first. And so it gives me a direction of where I'm going to go. And I've tried outlining in great detail, and I felt too constrained by that. And so I'm kind of a hybrid of what they call a pantser and a plotter. I do have the ending worked out, and especially after about halfway through, and I have to then keep track of a variety of different plot points, I will hit the main beats and just sort of sketch those out on a paper. But it really is a sketch, and it's not the detailed kind of work that I've seen some writers do.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of fun with that, and it lets me go off in other directions. And throughout, I'm often trying to figure out what's the worst thing that could happen to my character and deal with it. And so it's a lot of fun.
I did take a class one time at a conference where they said they paint their characters into a box, and then that's when all the creativity comes up, you know, where they are like, now they have to get themselves out of that box, and some really great choices happen when that approach is taken. So, I mean, I applaud you. That's really, really great. I started off as a pantser, didn't quite work. So I started doing the plotting, and then I kind of do what you do too, where you have that ending. The ending is really important. I think that's a great advice to give to new authors is putting the ending in there and then following your plot points and just kind of sticking with it. I think that's really cool. If you could map out the next 5 years of your writing life, what does that look like?
Well, I intend to write a series, a number of books in this series. And as I said, I've just finished number three, and or at least the initial draft. And I have ideas for probably a dozen books.
Oh.
And I have ideas for other books besides that are not supernatural. So who knows where the next 5 years will lead.
Do you, does it take you about a year to write a book, or can you get two done, or how what's your time frame?
Well, it's hard to ascertain right now because I was working as a teacher until a few months ago, and then I retired. And so now I have more free time. But of course, now I have a couple of books to market and other things as well. So it's making up other time in other ways. But I am much more relaxed, and I'm not exhausted all the time
when I was trying to teach
and write at the same time. And so I was in a couple of bands. So
was the retirement planned, or was it because of the COVID thing, or is it? Were you just lucky enough to get to retire right now?
I was lucky enough. I had wanted to retire years ago, but due to a variety of factors, my wife ended up going back to graduate school, and we had two boys in college, and so all right. Early retirement wasn't going to happen.
A few more things to pay for.
I actually really loved teaching, but I found it exhausting, and it really did limit other creative pursuits that I had. And so it was about a year and a half ago. It was right before the start of the year, and I said, okay, I got to gear myself up for this. I'd really wish it were otherwise. And Ruth said, well, maybe you should retire. Yeah. So we went and talked to the financial planner, and he said, why don't you retire?
Oh, so, that's so great. Yeah. I always loved my history teachers. They just had, I don't know. There's always something where you kind of look at where you're at in modern days, and you kind of look back and think, gosh, what would the people back then have thought of the way that we are now? And, mm-hmm. And stuff like that. So I mean, I always really appreciated history. I think it's important to learn from it, and it's good. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I also like to address modern day issues back at that time period and use it as like a distant mirror to reflect on some of the things that we're dealing with. And so through in my books, they're dealing with racism and sexism and drug abuse and a variety of other things that still haunt us today. So
wonderful.
I feel like there were always these issues. It's just a different take and view on them.
Yeah.
Indeed. Yeah. Exactly right.
Well, now we have technology that everything is out there. Yeah. Now we know who's doing what.
Yeah.
Where back then it was, oh, I heard.
Yeah. Good. I applaud you for that. That's really awesome. Okay. So, as a kind of a last question, what would you most like to say to the readers out there? Or is there anything that you'd like, if you'd like to show us your book, I'd love to see that. You kind of showed us at the beginning, but I'd love to see your first book because it's a cool cover.
I'd be honored to. A marvelous artist named Debbie Taylor designed this for me. And it's hard to, I don't know if you can see that her eyes are red and she's in a graveyard. And again, the series is called The Idola Project. And the first book is cleverly titled The Project. The second book is entitled Moonlight Becomes You. And I just happen to have that. The cover on my t-shirt.
Look at that! That is so cool. Oh, and he looks pretty fierce on the front there.
He, oh yes, but he's he is a rather fierce werewolf. So as I said, this one is about them encountering a werewolf that's terrorizing a black community. So it's great and time.
Oh, and do you have a title for your third book yet?
Well, the working title is Totem of Terror.
Ooh, that's cool. I know that you were saying that you had a newsletter. You want to talk about your newsletter.
I would very much, I'd love to send that out to people. It includes not only announcements of my books and sales, and also friends sales and other things that people can get in on, and free offers as well. I also write articles of, you know, how things inspired me and how I do the writing process as well, and some background on some of the characters and also the some of the historical things that have inspired me and have worked their way into the books. So the way people can do that is to simply email me, and I prefer sort of a personal touch rather than just a form. And so if you would, my email is email@robertheraldauthor.com. And my last name is an unusual spelling. It's H-E-R-O-L-D. So email@robertheraldauthor.com. And robertheraldauthor.com is also the address for my website. And there's some excerpts of my books and some cool pictures and list some a lot of the awards that I've won. So
wonderful. Yes, you just won. I think I heard that you just won an award too, didn't you? Just
yeah, recently. Moonlight Becomes You as a manuscript won 2 first place awards from the Southeastern Writers Association. They were kind enough to let a Seattle writer submit, and I won two first place wins, as I mentioned, and one of which was for best novel.
Fantastic. Good for you. That's awesome. That's pretty, it's such a rewarding thing. It's such an honor when those things happen and you get so excited that other people appreciate it as much as you did when you were writing it. So that's wonderful.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, I just really wanted to thank you so much for coming on today. It's been such a pleasure, and I've actually seen your name in our writing loop several times, and it's really such a pleasure to kind of see you face to face. This is a great medium to do that, where you get to know people a little bit better.
Well, I feel exactly the same way, Jenny, and it's been a delight. Thank you for having me, and I forget your cohort's name.
Andrea.
Thank you again for having me, the both of you, and look forward to getting together again in the future.
Absolutely. Good luck with the book.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.